Well, good evening and thank you very much for the warm welcome to your fellowship here this evening. I am half a Donegal man, and it's great coming down here to where my mother was born and brought up and seeing God's kingdom coming here among you. And as moderator of the church this year, it's a tremendous joy to see a new congregation formed here this evening, and it's a pure delight to be with you tonight. It's tremendous how much water is provided for me here. I was given an armchair at the front. I really feel welcome among you here this evening, and I'm glad to be with you. We want to read this evening from the book of Romans, some verses from the first chapter, and it's from this part of God's word that I want to bring you a message this evening. Romans chapter 1, and I can read some verses to you from this chapter. Paul was writing to a church in the city of Rome, and he was giving them instruction and guidance, and we want to read part of this this evening. Romans 1 from verse 1 to verse number 6, and then verses 16 and 17. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. Verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. The only item in the prolific 50th anniversary brochure of the Belfast Festival that interested me was the visit of Ian Rankin, the Scottish best-selling author. Last week he was to be in Belfast to launch his new novel. He is relaunching his series on the famous Inspector Rebus. But my chief concern about his visit was to ascertain the title of his novel, to give me a clue into understanding what the storyline might be. I'm not really sure if the title of his new novel does help me in that regard. The title is Standing in Another Man's Grave. This evening we come to think of the opening words of this apostle as he's writing to a fledgling church in Rome. What does he want to convey to them? What message does he want to bring to this relatively young congregation? What is it that he wants them to know and to treasure, to love, believe, proclaim and live? Helpfully, the apostle gives us the title to his book in these first 17 verses. He repeats one word, which gives us an insight into the message he's conveying to them by letter. And it is the word gospel. As a new congregation of Christ's people, What is your purpose upon the earth? What is your role within this county and town? It is to know and to love and to live and to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is not a social club, though it's good to come here to share our burdens. It's not principally a counseling body. This is a place, this is a group of people whose primary role is to honour and proclaim Jesus Christ. Let me share with you a number of aspects of this message which the apostle is writing about to this young church. Let us think for a moment of the source of this message. In verse 1 we read, it is the gospel of God. God is its author. He is the one who has created this message. He has written it. He has made it known. The message wasn't made up by man or created by angels, but God is the author of this message. God transmits this message to us not by using a megaphone in the second or third heavens, but he transmits it through men. The words in verse number 2, he promised before through his prophets. God brings this message to this earth through specially selected and gifted people. New Testament times, it was by the apostles, one of whom Paul was, prophets in Old Testament times, apostles in New Testament times. God speaks to planet Earth the gospel. Now Paul, Mark has a large, interesting and extensive study. And every minister should have such a thing. But in that study, Mark is not creating the message. Mark is endeavouring to prepare to communicate the message. His desire is to bring to you this message which God from heaven has spoken to Letterkenny, to County Donegal, to the whole of this island, continent and world. The source of the message is God. And all of us should be praying for Mark, that he will be sustained and guided in his preparation and delivery of being a vehicle to communicate to you week after week. As he sits in people's homes, as he witnesses on the street, as he preaches in this building, let us all pray that Mark will be strengthened and used to communicate not his own ideas, but the gospel of God. And how should the congregation come to the services? How should we approach hearing this wonderful message from heaven? We should come with humility. We are come to hear. We are coming to listen. We are coming to learn from God Almighty what he wants us to know, believe, and do. We're to lay aside our own opinions, our own priorities, our own moral standards, and we are to come as humbled people, listening to Almighty God. We're to come with eagerness and expectation and enthusiasm to the worship services. The source of the message is God. Secondly, the substance of the message. What is this message about? Well, some religions maintain that the main message of the Bible is about Abraham. Others maintain it's about Ishmael. Some maintain it's about Peter. Others think the Bible is all about the Ten Commandments, all about the Sermon on the Mount and turning the other cheek and going the second mile. Paul says in verse 3, it's concerning Jesus Christ. This is what this message that God has sent from heaven to us is all about. It's about Jesus Christ. And Paul is a wonderful example for us here. As soon as he mentions the name Jesus Christ, he's off on a tangent. He starts speaking to us about who he is and what he does. He's the Son of God. He's Jesus the Saviour. He's Christ the Anointed One. He's truly man. He's also exalted and sending the Holy Spirit down from heaven. This is what the message that we have to proclaim, that you have to believe and love and live, is all about. It's concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Have you been up Mount Ergel? I'm sure you can make it. As you drive past it and the sun is setting, it looks resplendent and attractive. But it's distant and cold and unconnected to your life, glorious though it might be. And all the figures of history might have been geniuses and outstanding in their field and admirable in their time, but they cannot do anything in your life today. But Jesus Christ is living. He is God and man. This whole first part of Romans is documenting for us the interaction there is between the Son of God and Paul and the new Christians in Rome. He was in their homes, in their hearts, in their minds, in their church. The substance of this message is not about some dead, admirable, historical figure, but about the living, saving, present, loving, gracious Son of God. Have you met the Taoiseach? Seems very distant from Donegal, way on the other side, but his policies will affect you a bit. His stringent economic changes might impact your life in a measure. But he doesn't know you. He doesn't help you in your struggles and temptations. But the Son of God does. The one about whom the central message of your congregation is all about. It's a living, saving Saviour. This is the reason why your congregation exists. It's because of Jesus. And it's for Jesus. This is why you're in this town and in this county. It's to proclaim and live Jesus Christ. The substance of the gospel. Liverpool were playing today. Man City. Chelsea. Tomorrow, with enthusiasm of various degrees, we'll talk about this to our colleagues at work, to our neighbours, to our friends. Here's God. And he's speaking to us from heaven. What does he talk about? He talks about Jesus. What an example for us. As we go out into another week, talk about Jesus. The substance of the gospel. Thirdly, the strength of the gospel. Verse 16 says, the gospel is the power of God for salvation. Rome, as you know, was the symbol of pride and power. People spoke of it with awe. Everyone wanted to visit Rome before they left this world. They wanted to look and to stare and to wonder. In contrast to the greatness of Rome was Paul, an ugly little man, bandy legs, bald head, hooked nose, bad eyesight, no great rhetorical gifts. Now don't be smirking too much there. Yet he believed he had something to say to that city. What was it? It was the gospel. He wanted the believers there to know it. He wanted the city to know it. He wanted the world to know it. He was going to Jerusalem and then he would go to Rome because he wanted to go to Spain. He wanted to take this message everywhere because it's the power of God, the salvation. He tells us why God's righteousness is revealed in it. It's the only message that can take a man off the road to destruction and put him on the road to heaven. What power! Power to save any man that believes. I came over a rise in the road this evening and I was struck again by the greatness of this town. How wide it spreads. How many people, souls are here. It is great. But Christ is greater. His power changes lives as you've experienced. In a big town, there are many problems, many addictions, many snares into which people have fallen. They are hooked. They are troubled. The gospel is the power of God to save. Every man, every woman has a problem. They have the problem of carrying their guilt around them day after day. The gospel is the power to salvation. Can I encourage you to be patient? Verse 20 of this chapter speaks about the power of God in creation. God had the power to create the world in one day, in one second, in one moment. But he takes 6 days in the exercise of his power to make the world. And this is often the way in God building congregations. He says one here and another there and another yonder, and slowly he builds up his church. The strength of the gospel for your minister, for all the members, for those who are unbelievers. The power of God. And lastly, the servant of the gospel. Paul writes in the first verse that he is a slave of Jesus Christ. He's separated to the gospel. This is his life's work. This is his life's aim. He wants to live and proclaim and let everybody hear this life-transforming, destiny-altering message. A servant of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He describes himself in verse 14 as under obligation or a debtor. You can become a debtor by one of two ways. You can get into debt yourself, or you could be given 1,000 euros for someone else. And until you pass those euros over to the next person, you are a debtor to them. You've been entrusted with something valuable to give to them.
And this is how Paul viewed himself, that Jesus Christ had given to him the treasure of the gospel to give to the world. And he was a debtor to share that message and proclaim it to the wise, to the foolish, to the cultured and the uncultured. He's feeling the weight of that debt this evening in your vast town. You know the gospel. You members love the gospel. You believe the gospel. It's valuable to you. But Christ has given it to you to give to the world, to share with your neighbours, your friends, the people you go to the gym with, or you meet in the library, or you walk with your dog. In congregations all over our island, there are people with egos, big egos. They want power and recognition, a place of importance. But Paul recognized that the true position of every church minister and member is a slave of Jesus Christ, under his authority and power and guidance. The strength of the gospel, the source of the gospel, the substance of the gospel, the servant of the gospel. Are you ashamed of the gospel? Ashamed to come along sometimes to the buildings here? Paul says in verse 16, "I am not ashamed." A shrewd Scots interpreter is suggested that Paul wouldn't have said that unless he was tempted to be ashamed. And we're all tempted to be ashamed. And Christ comes up in conversations sometimes. We are silent. Was there anyone in your school that was quiet, unattractive, a little eccentric, was avoided by all the rest? You didn't want to be seen with them. It wasn't cool or trendy to hang around with them. But one day you got to know them, and you weren't ashamed to sit beside them in the class. They had substance and interest and worth and something to give. Let all of us delve again into the mysteries and wonder of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let it seep into our minds and our hearts until we love it again, and until we will say, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ." On behalf of the church, we love yous down here. We pray for yous. We rejoice in God's blessing upon yous. And we commend you to God and his grace as you move forward together for the name of Jesus Christ.